Brand new year and a brand new god. That sucks because my voice is all crackly from being sick.
I'll just auto-tune it later. That'll totally happen.
We all kind of collect things in the sense of
enter like our the house. Collector.
Our houses are full of stuff.
Our house is a very, very, very full house
because of all of the shit that we collect. Shit we buy. But that's... Hey, everybody, I'm Kyle Hagan.
This is Kendrick Evans. Highball, give us money.
Highball, give us money. Again.
Because we're lonely.
Evidently, I'm just in a singing mood. I had a weird dream.
This is the musical. Sitsock the musical. We need Joss Whedon to direct it.
I want to be a producer.
Never make it with this podcast.
Nope. That's okay, though.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, he's sort of like right all up in the middle of the road here.
He's doing it.
He's doing it.
He's embracing
with his bros.
Life.
He's just fucking sitting there with his car.
He's got to protect this Dodge, man.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he's just
you don't know his life.
A chode waffle. I'm going to say this on here. Totally.
Did you say your name yet?
I did. Kendrick
okay,
Evans.
Okay, this is it.
Spitting in the stream of consciousness, everybody. I don't know how you spit and it went ting. What the fuck stream you're in?
I had a can. It's a polluted river.
Oh, yeah. It is our consciousness. So, yeah, it would be. In my defense, last time I was like, hey, I bet it's about New Year's. Boom. That one's airing today.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, girl.
I'm really excited about the podcast.
Which means this is our first new podcast of the year.
Brand new year and a brand new god. That sucks because my voice is all crackly from being sick.
I'll just auto-tune it later. That'll totally happen.
It's a brand new year. Do-do-do-do-do-do. This is the more musical of our podcast just because we're singing.
Okay. It's getting there.
So, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I think we have, kind of opted out of doing too many more eventings until we start, like, researching
no,
articles.
I disagree.
Do you want to do one right now?
I think we should warm up with one, because it's okay. Been a little while.
We have to get our banter back.
We definitely haven't taken a whole bunch of time off.
How Stella got his banter back.
I definitely also binged a podcast the whole time during the...
Our podcast?
No.
Oh,
God, no. I don't even listen to
it. God.
I don't know if we could cross... Let's cross-reference him. Reverend Peyton is that band that I like.
Mm-hmm.
They do a podcast that's called Hard Times and Weirdness.
Weird.
You might go check it out if you're a fan of their music. If you're not, you might not even remotely give a shit, but I enjoyed it immensely, and it made me want to listen to their music more because it's just them telling stories about all the weird shit they've seen on the road because they've been touring for, like, 15 years. And, like, how they almost... This hitchhiker was trying to rob them, and... How they got out of that. How they got stopped at the border with Canada because they had, like, 17 knives. But the guy's from southern Indiana, so he's like, well, of course I got 15 knives. I got my hunting knife. I got my survival knife. I got fishing knives. You can't just have one knife. And it's like, I like the cut of your jib.
We need enough knives to make sure that we have a knife for every situation.
Well, he does.
It's practical. It's not...
You can't fillet a fish with, you know, a fucking...
And actually,
chef's knife.
Recently, my dad started getting into fishing because they're now like part of this big camping troop, and they just go camping and drink everywhere around.
So you have one truck that pulls all 15 of their fifth wheelers.
I'm surprised they don't have that yet. But
and then one button that just deploys them all in a little like wagon train.
He said that he used a fishing fillet knife or whatever, and he's like, "This is really good. It works really well."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, this because knives like." Are meant to do certain things.
Fillet knives are, like, very flexible, so it's, like, perfect. It's fucking purpose-built. Yeah, apparently the Canadian authorities didn't like that. They also had, like, 6 jars of mustard, and they gave them shit for that. It's like, why do you have 6 jars of mustard? It's like, well, you like mustard. Is that legal? What's going on? But, yeah, so I had a lot of fun with that one. It was funny because Reverend Peyton, he's a, you know, southern dude, southern Indiana. He would every time he'd be about to make some bombastic statement or some defense of his weird shit he's about to do, he'd go, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain. And he was always like, oh, guys, this is good.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And he's like talking into a box. It's funny. It's just those guys, when you see people who are like just consummate performers, right, the kind of people that you should always have, they're just, they belong in front of a microphone.
Oh,
All right, that was my pattern to fill time.
That does sound like an interesting podcast. I really dig the.
I check it out. Hard time and weirdness
sometimes. So, this eventing that I've just looked up today, again, have nothing nothing I know about this topic, but you actually might know about this topic.
Oh, dicks!
Because what I was like racking my brain yesterday, trying to figure out what the fuck every one of my friends who I've never known to watch UFC wanted to watch UFC for. And it's because Ronda Rousey's fight.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this article says it's a breakdown of the preview between Ronda Rousey and Amanda Nunes. Nunes? It looks like Dunes with an N, so I'm saying Nunes.
Sure.
Okay. It's just...
Call Kate. Pick her up. Hey.
Wake up. You're talk a guest to now. Us. All right. So I'll really quickly, I'm just going to read the top part of the article. It's just the stats, I guess, which is important to people in UFC. Ronda Rousey is a 12-2 this season or year, I guess, for like whatever her record is. I don't know if it carries over or if it's like lifetime. Okay.
She, yeah.
And Amanda Nunes is 13-4, so more fights, but it's probably a lower ratio.
So, of wins. What happened? The reason this is big, and I am not huge into UFC, but I am into martial arts, so I'm kind of into UFC by default.
Uh-huh.
And I probably will watch this because I'm curious to see how this goes. Ronda Rousey was sort of a darling for a little bit. Like, she was not like that. She was like a favored person. She was one of those divisive characters. So she was one of the things where a lot of people liked her.
Standards.
Well, a lot of people liked her, and a lot of people fucking hated her. Okay. She was hot shit, and she knew what she was. She was very big in her world. She was very arrogant. And I think it was arrogant.
And she was in the Expendables, so we can't forget that.
Well, sure. But she did this thing where she would knock people the fuck out in like a couple of minutes. And she would say shit about how she's the highest paid person. Her hourly wage is like the highest of anybody's because she's only ever in the ring for a couple of minutes. It's like, yep. And then last year, so she's been knocking out all these other women that were in UFC. Like, she's been, whatever weight class she's in, she's just been cleaning everybody's box. Like, step up, knock them out, walk off, MBD, right? Like, total domination. And then she rolled up, and I forget who it was, but she rolled up against a serious contender who beat the shit out of her.
I think I remember hearing about that.
Like, it was the most one-sided fight. She got, like, Ronda Rousey got Rousey. And it was, like, utterly devastating to her. And she, like, just stopped. She, like, took a break. Because it just destroyed her ego and her everything, and yeah, so she's coming back, and that's the big thing is that this is her comeback. So half the people want to watch it, see her come back and be good. The other half want to see her get her ass kicked again.
And you don't know anything about Amanda Nunes?
I've heard the name, but I don't know much about her because she's not. A lot of UFC is actually funny. We were just talking about this yesterday. A lot of UFC is the theater. It's not that far off from WWE.
I was just gonna take that point. So like, for me, UFC. And the stuff that I'm coming from is really, like, the Key and Peele skits and weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
And some of the videos I've seen online of UFC fighters, like, facing off for that picture
are,
like, comical or, like, they're not really taking it seriously. It's all about, like, the theatrics, right?
The theatrics are often part of it, and that's where you have people like Conor McGregor who are, like, just trash-talking garbage people just yelling at each other. Well, there's, again, this is actually quite advantageous because Kate was just talking about this yesterday. There's these guys... they had a name, but we were calling them like trailer trash after this because they're like a bunch of weed smoking trailer trash just shitheads, and they're always trash talking people. And then there's another fighter whose name is George St. Pierre, and he's a Canadian. Mm-hmm. He's like a serious martial artist. He's a little older than those guys, and he's like super polite, super like quiet. He just talks about how he, like, analyzes his opponents in videos.
Like Tyson versus Ali kind of thing, where, like, one of them is a bombastic and the other one's just, like, just humble.
Well, yeah, and it's not even necessarily that he's super humble, but he's, like, a martial artist instead of just fucking street fighting thug.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, with the emergent, I always felt like UFC was kind of something that, like, bros watch for a long time.
It is. A lot of them, it is.
Only because I only ever... saw them do talk about it and watch it, right? So, like, people that I knew that were like bro like
that had a bro affliction.
They had bro like qualities. Were the ones that were interested in UFC, but I never really got into it because every time I'd watch it, I was just like, you know, it's the equivalent of other people watching soccer, where, like, you're watching it, and it's like, this is fucking boring. Like,
yeah.
And they're like, oh, man, I'm just seeing, like, a lot to describe this. It's really a low pace, but a fast-paced sport. If you know what's happening, it's really interesting to watch. But if you don't know anything about, like, martial arts or soccer, it's really boring to watch.
Yeah.
Because you're not paying attention to the plays.
Yeah, if you don't know enough about UFC, it's two guys in their underwear that are hugging, right? Angrily.
And the ground fights, if they're, like, really ground-heavy fighters, it just, like, it's just, like, Roman sweaty, Greco yeah. sweaty wrestling.
Yeah, it is a little weird, but...
No, not weird. It's just... No, I mean, I don't want to watch that.
No, I get you. It's like, what the fuck is this shit? And I get that. And that's kind of where I've been for a lot of it, because a lot of it is garbage fights. They're just... thugs wailing on each other, and you're like, this is annoying.
Which is the same thing with soccer. Like, a lot of soccer is, like, garbage soccer.
And then the ball moved a little over there. Nope.
Yeah.
Then move back.
When you see, like, good. A really good game.
I've actually seen a couple of really good games of soccer, like, in the, I watched the World Cup a couple times, and I've seen a couple of games.
Yeah. Not always the best there. MLS doesn't typically have a lot of
games. No, I was in Britain. I saw some games, and I'm like, hot damn. That's mm-hmm. some impressive shit.
And I've seen the same thing with fights. Like, I've seen fights where I was like, holy shit, this is like toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
There's some really crazy. Cool stuff happening.
Well, there's an example there. Actually, this fight was probably like 6 or 7 years ago, and I forget who was fighting. Because I don't follow UFC. Like, I'll watch it a little bit, but I don't follow it. And I know enough people who can help me that I don't have to remember. But
help you understand.
Yeah, I can be like, I could just like text half a dozen people and be like, who's that guy who did that thing? And they're like, oh, it's this guy, and he's been in this fight, and this is his record. And they're like, okay, I don't need to know this, because you do. So I'll just tap you as necessary. Cool. But it was George St. Pierre, that Canadian guy, and some ground fighter guy who was really good at ground fighting, but not really much else. And it was interesting to see such that sharp, like, dichotomy, because he was like he's a little shorter guy, but he was heavy, and he could, like, tackle you and just put you on the ground. Like, that was his thing. He grabs you by the waist, puts you on the ground, and all of a sudden you're, like, about to die.
Spot.
Yeah. So George St. Pierre actually said, yeah, no, he's a really good ground fighter, and I'm not that good, so I'm not going to the ground. Like, that was his thing. The whole fight, George St. Pierre squared off and just threw these sharp left jabs, just little tight left jabs. And the guy kept trying to, like, close the distance, and George St. Pierre, like, backpedal and then punch him in the face. Like, he just kept doing these left jabs, and he threw, like, a couple kicks here and there, and the guy, like, grabbed him and almost got him on the ground. He had to squirrel out again and punch him in the face. Like, he almost won the fight, George St. Pierre did. 5 or 6 rounds, I want to say. And by the end, the guy's, like, hands were starting to drop. He wasn't even blocking them anymore. He was just exhausted from getting punched in the head so much. Like, in guarding him. Like, he's starting to, like, his hands are starting to kind of droop, and he's just kind of standing there just getting punched in the face. And then he I think he got knocked out, or he just, like, fell down. Like, it was very interesting, aside from it being obviously punching someone in the face until they fall down, which is a thing. But it was interesting to watch the technical aspect, because he knew if he threw anything too committed, like a big kick or a roundhouse kick or, you know, like a huge punch or something like that, he's going to get caught up and brought to the ground. And he knew if he was on the ground, he's going to die, because that guy, like, got him in the clinch a little bit a couple times, and he was like, he wasn't looking good. But he managed to wriggle out and punch him in the face. And I was like, wow, okay. Now, he's not a boxer. He's a martial artist. Like, he's an actual, he knows all this stuff. He is good at everything else, but he knew that was the ticket, and it was he gambled on it. He bet on the left jab. Put all of his effort into that, and it paid off.
You know, I really like that aspect of UFC, because it makes me feel like when sometimes, you know, I'm going to take a really sharp turn, we're going off in a tributary here.
Whoa.
Sport-based anime always has this really interesting aspect of this team is good at this, and this team's really good at this, and then the team that you're rooting for has to figure out a way to beat that thing that they're doing.
Yeah, whatever.
Haiku, all this other stuff. Like, Haiku is a volleyball anime, and they do that a lot. But I think that UFC is one of the real life sports. Is a sport that lends itself to being the most anime-like in that sense without having to do anything special. Because you're like, this guy's a real good ground fighter. Now you have to learn how to ground fight, or you have to try to get him. You know, the strategic element of UFC comes in the fact that there's so many different ways to fight because it's mixed martial arts, right?
Yeah.
So that is a really cool aspect. And having been forced to and personally chosen to watch a lot of sport-based anime, which is actually pretty decent if you like it, if you like
I've heard that
kind of inspirational shit. But I think also that UFC lends itself to being very like Dragon Ball Z, Tenchi Muyo. Is it Tenchi Muyo? I think Yu Yu Hakusho, actually.
Yu Yu Hakusho, yeah.
Very martial art anime-like, because it's like, oh man, this guy's a Chinese fighter, knows how to twist men's arms around their bodies, and you're like, you have to now find the ultimate defense.
Those are the good fights. Yeah, those are the good ones. The downside is the other ones are just two rednecks beating each other until one of them falls down.
Which is the ones you don't see at the World Tournament, like in Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah,
like,
those are the good ones. Or they show up and they get their asses kicked by a named character, right? Like,
yeah.
The guy driving that truck right there, for example.
he's not a named character, to be clear.
No, he's just he's a redneck. He's probably named Jeffro.
You see, I've heard you use the word redneck three or four times. I feel like you have a newfound purpose for this word after coming back from Durango.
No.
Okay.
No, it's just understanding where people, you know, are. It's a thing about UFC is that it does pull from a lot of different backgrounds, and the MMA, like, community in general is one of the ones that it has a combination of both things. You know, it's like any professional sport, you know, like NFL. It has a substantially higher felony rate than, say, accounting.
Yes, that's probably, well, yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean,
most accountants either don't get caught or don't do bad things in the first place.
But, like, overall, they're bloody boring. Whereas, the testosterone-jacked guys who run and hit each other for a living might have a higher propensity for violence. I don't know, it just kind of seems like there's a bit of a correlation.
It doesn't seem crazy.
No, it's not like straight gladiatorial, but it's like, well, there's a bunch of roided out, crazy, angry guys here. Can't imagine why they might be unsafe.
I thought steroids were illegal. Speaking of legals, illegal in UFC.
Well, yeah, but and they are, but I stand by the term roided out as a descriptor more than an actual technical term, because those guys are scary. I mean, like, they are.
Well, you as a martial artist are scared of UFC fighters.
Well, it's that they take all of the parts of boxing where you get hit for a living, and combine that with all of the parts of the martial arts that are designed to just incapacitate, or not necessarily incapacitate, but deliver kinetic energy into each other. And they do it for a fucking living. Like, I'm a martial artist. I've been there for 20 years. I spend 6 hours a week on it.
Yeah.
Those guys spend 6 hours a day on it, at least. They work out all day, every day, and that consists of fighting all day, every day. And that they're just fighters. Like, that's all they do. That's their life. And they don't live long. I mean, it's not...
Is that true?
Well, they have a lot of the same... Like, boxers have a lot of this... Have those chronic, like, head injuries. I mean, repeated head trauma is just not good for you. And that's why football players and boxers and MMA fighters across the board tend to have, and they tend to look older than they are. They tend to have more like brain damage. It's not, again, it's not every time everybody.
No, that's
but
a
they
good
have
point.
Substantially higher propensity for head injuries than accounts.
The head injury is a big deal. It turns out.
Yeah, it turns out getting your head punched repeatedly is really not good for you.
Yeah. UFC, man.
Well, Mike Tyson, just look at him.
Yeah. Right. Mike Tyson. I don't think there's been anybody in
what's his name
UFC really that has been as crazy as Mike Tyson has been for weeks.
he's nutso. But
I actually watched a real big documentary on not Mike Tyson but Evander Holyfield's career.
Oh yeah,
and that was really interesting. As much as I typically don't gravitate towards sport related things, it was on ESPN and I was bored. And I was just watching it and hearing about what happened and hearing about how Mike Tyson, like, tried to bite him a few times, and not just the one, and took multiple chokes in his ear, and be like, God damn, dude, like, chill out.
Yeah.
And they, like, agreed to fight again, I thought, later, or something like that.
Yeah, weird.
It was an interesting, I would highly suggest looking through Evander Holyfield's career, because it was a very interesting journey. His life is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it seems to be a common theme, but...
yeah, right?
I mean, it's
like
still...
Like, Rocky.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you're talking about people who made the conscious choice to fight for a living, right?
Yeah, and try to, like, have it as a profession.
And that's their best bet. That's their best... That, in their mind, for whatever reason, was what they put their money on.
Seriously, what is this guy's car doing?
It's making a lot of farting noises.
Sorry, everybody. That guy obviously chose not to be a boxer because he's still alive, unfortunately. That was really weird. But I just... Death threat that guy, so if he dies,
let's just roll off to another thing. So, how about that other topic?
But we're one of the things that I guess we can. We only have a short amount of time, so I don't want to pull up a full another topic. But,
no, but like,
let's discuss our strange and interesting gift giving habits, because since it's post holiday.
I'm not gonna lie, you gazumped me. I wasn't expecting that.
But the problem is that I saw something on sale that I knew you'd probably like.
Yes.
And that's typically how I give gifts. If I can see something that someone likes, then I will buy that for them in much of like a picked up fashion, as Aaron says, and I'm not really sure that
I don't know what that means.
It's a Seinfeld episode thing. It's pretty goddamn festive or whatever.
Oh.
It's this weird Seinfeld thing, and instead of Christmas,
I've talked about this on Facebook a little bit, so anyone, I'm assuming the people who listen to this are probably my Facebook friends as well. I don't do a lot of organized gift giving. I suck at that. Like, I've got to go buy gifts for people, and we struggled with that a little bit this last week, because it was like, oh no, what are we going to do?
Nobody's expecting you to give gifts.
It doesn't matter. That's what my point is. It's like, well, so I struggle with that. But I usually go for the, oh, this is cool, but Kyle would like that. And I was eating that barbecue sauce, and I was like, this is good stuff, so we just had to go get some. We were standing like, I wonder if Kyle would like some. And that's what it was.
Was it from an actual place, or was it
It's from a market.
Okay.
That makes
so you were
stuff.
Eating it at like a house or something?
We were eating at a house, and I was chowing down on that shit, and it was bomb diggity. My methodology is similar to yours, where it's like, if I see something, I just buy it for people, and then like, this is cool, check this out. And the problem is that I don't usually do that around Christmas time, because I tend to avoid shopping around Christmas time.
Yeah.
So
I do a lot of it on Amazon, and the problem is it's kind of snowball-y. So like, once I start looking for stuff, I'm like, oh man, what would he want? What would they want? And then I'm in the zone, and then you've bought things for people, and you're like, shit, I didn't really need to buy this much stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean,
there's worse things in the world. Hey, we still got to go to Fogo Chow. I saw, I saw some folks on Facebook were posting it. I got some friends that come into Denver once a year, around this time of year, and they roll through, and they just post a list of they go to downtown. And I'll be honest, I tend to look at that like, hey, I should try that place, because like, I think they research it. They have places that they like to go to all the time. And there's like new trendy places they all seem to find them. So I look at that and I'm like, I think we should go there. But then they're like, oh, you guys got to try Fogo Chow. And I was very proud of myself. They were like, been there.
Done it.
It's delicious. Let's go now. I'm on my way. And I was like, in Durango. Like, I wonder if I could make it.
No. Just got to go there and then right back. It's going to be 16 hours. It's okay. Ryan Miller came into town this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. Do you remember Ryan?
Yep.
Okay. And then he talked about it. He's like, we should go to Fogo Chow. And I was like, damn, dude. I really need to make sure that I'm ready for it, though.
I know.
I don't just want to go off the cuff and be like, oh, shit.
I don't know what we're going to do, because my weekends are all busy.
Yeah.
Might have to do...
I'm okay taking a day off in January and just
a half day or something.
Yeah, maybe. Sure. That's fine. Whatever.
I don't know. We got to figure something out.
We're going to be sick after we eat Fogo Chow. Better take a sick day.
Yeah. Well, that's the worst, but I have one sick day left this year.
Then you're going to have five. I have three, so...
They don't carry over.
I know. And I couldn't take one... the end of the quarter, because it's the fucking end of the quarter. I will comment, there's some really good things about being on a sales team. There's also some really annoying things about being on a sales team. As in, today I have no meetings, but if I take the day off, I'll be shunned by the rest of the salespeople, which really frustrates me, because my job revolves around meeting with people and helping them, and I don't have any today, but I can't take a day off because it's the end of the year, quarter, month.
Are you going to be able to work on cool stuff then?
Am I going to be able to work on what?
Cool stuff.
I hope. I don't have any cool projects.
We'll talk about that later. our friendly neighborhood radio listeners, ladies and gentlemen, they don't really care about our projects. But, gift giving. I mean, you both have a similar methodology. I wonder if there are other people out there who live this way and are forced to follow standard gift giving guide, rules.
Me too.
And that maybe we could start making it a movement.
I would like to say on this podcast, even though no one listens to it, that... And I may or may not be speaking for Kendrick as well. If you give me, if you think that you need to give me a gift, and I've already established that I'm not giving gifts, or I don't, you already know that I'm only giving gifts if I see it's important. Like, don't feel like I may not feel like I need to give you a gift back, and I don't want people to get angry with that. You know, because if you expect something back in the gift giving, that's great and all, but at least like let me know. Don't like.
Yeah.
The social contract's different, is what I'm saying. So.
Did you see that picture I found on the social?
I did. I was actually thinking about doing a podcast episode on the social contract. Because someone mentioned it the other day that cheating is against the social contract unless it's really funny.
Okay, we'll have to have a full-on social contract. Okay, so here's a teaser. Here's a teaser about the social contract, which is the social contract is what you invoke when you just don't want to actually justify your thing with, like, an actual moral rule or law. But you still want people to do the thing that you want them to do. You know? That's what it is. It's like, social contracts. Like, that, it's not fuck you. Like, it's you can't argue with it because it's unarguable, and that's why I really like that comic. Like, I finally found it. I found the social contract. What does it say? It was, give me your lunch money or I'll put your head in the toilet.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I wasn't really expecting that. Well, I kind of was, to be honest, but, you know.
I need to look at it more because I've only started, I've heard that term thrown around a little bit, but I've never really heard it until I was listening to a podcast called Flip the Table that I listened to, and they were talking about cheating in games. And one of the guys, Flip the Table was a podcast where they play really, really off the wall board games. And they'll play those weird franchise games that somewhere, like there's a 24 game they played. And so this game is terrible, but it revolves around, you know, Jack Bauer and finding out mysteries or something. And the character Jack Bauer just basically doesn't follow the law, but he's like a CTU agent, right? He's a counterterrorism agent, and he just does whatever he wants to try to get America safe, which is, like, it's a cool, interesting character flaw or whatever. But during the game, one of the players in the game just cheated, and he said, I'm Jack Bowering, and he cheats. And I was like, oh man, what's that going to do? And everyone laughed because they were like, it fit with, like, the nature of the game to have someone playing Jack Bauer just cheat because that's what Jack Bauer does. And so that's the first time I heard the social contract thing, and I was like, oh, wow,
it basically means I have assumptions about how people should behave, but I haven't really bothered to investigate why, so you need to do that.
So, like, you're putting the onus of investigating why you shouldn't do something on the, or why people shouldn't do things on them?
Yeah. It's the moral equivalent. I mean, it's the moral... like assertion equivalent of calling someone a racist because you can't really argue with it, right?
So recently, I always joke and say stuff's racist, but I like wanted to start being more specific because I assumed racism was like I would have been using the word racism for any kind of stereotype, right? It's because it was funny, but I wanted to look it up and make sure. And racism, it's not racist unless you're actually negative and like you're implying you're saying something negative about someone. This is what I read on the dictionary. It was like...
Was it reddit.com/dictionary?
No.
Okay.
There was some specific thing about it where you're like... It's like negative implied.
Well, so first of all, there's two types of racism now. There's big R and little R, and those are confusing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Watch out for that.
I'm sorry. It has to do with superiority is what it is. I'm sorry.
Interesting. Because I've never heard that.
It's that... Well, the definition is... a person who believes one race is superior to another. So we've now morphed racism into any time you make a stereotype.
I always thought that racism referred to any prejudice, assertion, or behavior or attitude.
And see, that's just a stereotype.
Race.
And it's a racial stereotype. But racism, as per the definition, is when you're trying to differentiate.
Qualitatively comparing. Or qualitatively ranking.
Black people are better than white people at sports. Like, that's racist. Because you're establishing...
Well, that makes me want to say it more often, because then it's even more incorrect to use it all the time.
Well, yeah, but I it was what spurred that and made me look it up, that I was like, oh, I've been using this wrong my entire life. Like, because I just thought I was using it as racial stereotypes, and it was
racial
interesting.
Prejudice.
There's not a word for just stereotyping people in their race.
Yeah, there is, called stereotyping, I mean...
Yeah, but not a racial-specific stereotype. Like, I saw the... just a Facebook post that was like defenestration, right? Which is where you throw somebody out a window.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was like, how can we have a word for this but not have a word for the day after tomorrow? And it's like, fuck you, English. Because we have these arbitrary, like, these strange words where we've defined something and then we can't have something that we use all the time.
Yeah. Because I think it's probably because the generations lately, at least, that have been pioneering new words have been pioneering words like YOLO and
Or on fleek.
Or fleek. all words that mean nothing.
Fleek is a word. I think it has to be on fleek. Because otherwise it's not a thing, right?
It's not a word,
but it's like a phrase.
Couldn't tell you.
It's a phrase.
All I'm saying is that the words we're coming up with are bay and fleek and YOLO, which all mean things that already have words. But we're not taking up things like that feeling you get when you really have to poop and there's nowhere near you can poop at. Or
the poop anxiety.
Yeah. Poop anxiety.
We have to rely on other languages.
Yeah, we have to describe German. Almost exclusively German.
German does do a good job of, like...
Well, yeah, they have a lot of descriptive words, and they're more than happy to make new words by sticking other words together in weird, horrifying Franken words.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
Franken words.
The Frankenwort.
Frankenwort.
We're not speaking actual German, to be clear, right now.
I am.
I mean, we're trying.
Oh my god, how I try.
It just makes me think of all the people that have died this year. Because I was thinking George Michael again.
Yeah.
Dude,
well, he never is going to dance again.
The death year. Yeah. Oh! Damn, dude.
Yeah, too soon.
Dude, brutal. Oh, Pikachu with the Christmas hat.
I feel like there's not much to say there, really. I mean, it's a bummer, but I will say this much. I suppose we'll just end it with this one. Maybe we can have a death-based podcast at one point, but it's a little dark.
You mean that the baby funeral pyres wasn't a death-based enough?
No, not compared to this one, but... This is a thing someone pointed out, which was, as you get older, you're more aware of the famous people. Like, you know more famous people now than you did before. But, oh my god, I saw that lady with the dress there. I didn't see her head at first, and I was very confused for a moment. I was like, why is there you dressed as a ghost? Anyway, that as we get older, more of the famous people we know are older, and they're more likely to be dying. We also, as we, and in this day and age, there are more famous people now than there ever have been before.
Yeah.
And it's easier to be famous now, which means it's only going to get fucking worse.
Yeah, because, yeah, and that's like, I think that rolls into the people saying, well, 2016 is the worst year until 2017 happens, because it's just going
to... I feel like I wrote an article about this and talked to Ryan Brummond about this, which was...
Oh, the death article?
Yeah, the death article from way back when. And we talked about how basically we're going to have to learn how to cope with death better as a culture because it's going to keep happening.
Yeah, right?
And it's only going to start happening more for famous people because there's a lot of famous people. There's a lot of famous people now.
And with the war on hurt feelings being a huge thing nowadays, it's kind of going to not work out so well.
Yeah, it's going to be rough for people. And I think that we're going to have to learn how to accept that people die.
It's a natural part of life.
Well, yeah. Western culture kind of sucks at dealing with that anyway, so...
I don't know. Keeping people alive longer than disease or cancer or anything like that allows them to be alive has always been something as a point of contention for me as a, like, someone understanding natural selection and artificial selection and having a basic understanding of biology where you're like, we haven't had natural selection for like ever. It's since since humans have been around.
Yeah.
Because it's all what we call artificial selection.
Yeah, we've been
where we are keeping people alive that probably should be dying. And not that it's good or bad morally.
Not a moral standpoint.
It's just like medical breakthroughs and understanding the human body better and all this stuff is keeping people alive longer, which can seem to give people this false sense of like immortality. In the sense of, like, keep thinking people are going to live forever.
It's the expectation that life is the standard, like, living is what you're supposed to be, and then dying is a deviation. And it's like, actually, no, living is a really handy thing we get to have for a little bit of time. Yeah. And then it goes away.
And that, what you just said there, is why is, like, a reason I never go towards suicide whenever I'm, like, sad or depressed or whatever. Because I'm like, we're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
There's no reason that we need to really help that along.
Might as well go on a bender then. I mean, fuck it. Like,
well, I mean, that this type of stuff you could view as me being a hypocrite because that is killing you, blah, 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 blah. But I'm still, like, able to live after I go on a bender in most cases unless I fuck it up.
But a bender is meant to be a visceral experience of life. This guy over here is struggling to park.
Sometimes, you know... Oh my god, how we tried. Okay, guys. So that's the end of the podcast today. This was really Sid Saki, so thanks for sticking with us.
Kendrick, I'm sorry that you have to tag this.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye.